Just go out to the chevra that came out this morning. Apparently some guys are still busy. I want to say over three yesodos. I'll start with something that I've said before that I actually heard afterwards that Rav Chatzkel says a similar idea. And that is that the Gemara in Shabbos and Kufchof Vav Maralef tells us that Hachnasas Orchim is greater than Kavalas Klei Hashkina. That receiving guests is greater than talking to Hashem, essentially, and being with Hashem. And the proof is from this week's parasha, as Avraham Avinu sees the three Anashim, who certainly appear like Anashim. So, from that perspective, it was simply a standard example of Hachnasas Orchim of human beings. And Avraham Avinu says, and the Gemara tells us that Avraham Avinu was in the middle of talking to the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and even though he's talking to Hashem, he said, "Listen, right now, after we'll leave talking to our Kadosh Baruch Hu, we'll leave talking to you, Hashem, and go tend to my guests." So, I think that most people would be troubled by such a line. We would think that the ultimate in dveikus, the ultimate in clinging to Hashem, is to talk to Hashem. That's the ultimate. You know, that's the ultimate connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we see that that's not the case. And just to understand that concept, I'd like to say the following mashal. Let's say you had a father who was the CEO of a large company, and he had a son who was coming up the ranks, and who was getting older and more mature, and he was ready to join the workforce. And he had two options. Option number one was to have him as his assistant. He would see him on a regular basis. He would be able to have a close relationship with him in terms of geographically and logistically. They'd be close. They'd be spending a lot of time together. But on the other hand, he wouldn't necessarily develop himself as a person, as an individual. He'd be more like his lackey, more like his assistant, more like his gopher, as you would say. Or he could start him off building his own company and instructing him and guiding him and seeing him grow on his own. And I think the obvious choice of most fathers would be that even though they would want to have their son around them, but to see the son develop his own personality, his own talents, and his own abilities would be a greater nachas to the father. And that's the mashal. And the nimshal, I think, is obvious. That it says in the Torah, somewhere in the Sefer Dorma, I didn't look it up, it says, "V'halachta b'drachov." Our goal is to walk in the ways of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Mahu rachum, afata rachum. Just like a Kadosh Baruch Hu is merciful, we're supposed to be merciful. And there, I think it says in the Pasuk, Uvo Sidbuk. Over there, the lashon of the Pasuk is, that is a way of clinging to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And we think that clinging to Hashem is to talk to Hashem, to be connected to Hashem on a personal level. But we see that there's an even greater level of connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that is to follow in His ways. When you follow in His ways, you're being mekayim, you're basically fulfilling you're following His ways, and that's a greater and more elevated form of connection when you go ahead and you mirror the ways of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's perhaps what's the pshat in the Gemara and the pshat in the reason why Avraham Avinu left talking to Kadosh Baruch Hu to go to receive Orchim. And that is because Gedolah Hachlosos Orchim Mikabalas Pnei Hashkina shows us that when you go ahead and you mirror and you mimic and you follow the ways of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, then you're actually connecting to Him on the greatest level. That's number one. And that's something to keep in mind when you're doing chesed. When you're doing chesed to other people, what are you doing? You're being godly. And that's our purpose in this world, to be godly. And that is certainly a level that all of us can achieve and follow in the ways of Avraham Avinu. That's number one. And number two is there's a book written about this, The Power of Amen. And if you ever read that book, you'll see that the miracles and the kochos of the word of Amen, of Kel Melech Ne'eman, is unbelievable. And so often in life, you know, we can first say Amen to people's brachos. You're saying Kel Melech Ne'eman. A Kadosh Baruch Hu is a trustworthy God. We believe in Hashem. That's what Amen means. And a person should not squander an Amen. And the Ramban tells us, we know that Sarah is taking the task for laughing at the possibility of having children. And the Ramban gives two reasons why. And the first answer is more the typical answer, and that is the Kadosh Baruch Hu Hashem Osa Lavram Lama Hayil Hadover Nimnam Beina. Why did she think it was impossible in her eyes? Sora should have believed that if a Kadosh Baruch Hu says you're going to have children, it's not a laughing matter, it's going to happen. So that was one explanation of the reason why she's taken to task over laughing. And then the other one is, oh, says the Ramban, even if she would have thought that it's not feasible for her to now have children at this old age, she should have at least said the words Amen. When somebody gives you a bracha and says something great is going to happen to you, say Amen. Kel melech ne'eman, that I believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring it to me. And that's an unbelievable idea. And you know what, I recently was talking to somebody, I should say, that somebody got engaged recently, and I was talking to him, and I said, Shem Zocha to build a bais never be Bisra, you know, live a long life of happiness, and said Amen, and said something else, should, you know, it should be the start of, and he said, Amen. It's something a person can get used to. You say Amen. And there's a story that they say over about very, you know, interestingly enough, maybe I will say this as an aside. I heard this on a tape, I think, 2 years ago. It must have been maybe even 3 years ago. And the story goes that there was somebody in the Zichron Moshe neighborhood, Meish Arim. He wasn't a wealthy person, but every year he used to buy Maftir Yonah on Yom Kippur. And he would spend a serious amount of money. And he thought that getting Maftir Yonah on Yom Kippur was his insurance policy for the year. And he did it for many, many, many years. And after a number of years, there was one Yom Kippur that a wealthy American gentleman, joined the minyan. And the bidding for Maftir Yonah went very, very, very high. And this man was reaching the point where he's probably going to have to, you know, sell his house, or mortgage his house, really serious financial challenges. And the Rav, if I'm not mistaken, was Diane Fisher, if I'm not mistaken, pretty sure it was, that he went over to this gentleman and said, listen, I understand that every year you buy this kibbutz and you spend a lot of money and it's your insurance policy, but I'm telling you, we're reaching the point where it's going to be very prohibitive and it's going to be very damaging to your life if you go into this financial strain. I'm encouraging you not to purchase Maftir Yonah, and I guarantee you that you'll have the same level of insurance policy for the year. So the man said, okay, fine. And he didn't purchase Maftir Yonah. And Sukkot goes by, and a few days after Sukkot, the man passes away. So the Rav, if I'm not mistaken, it's Dan Fisher, goes into Menachem Avil, and the family says, what happened? You gave me the Havtacha, you told me not to buy your Maftir Yonah, look what happened to our father, look what happened. So the Rav turns to them and says to them, I have to tell you that I walked over him in the middle of shul and I told him the bracha and he didn't say Amen. And he went over to him after shul and I told him the bracha again on Yom Kippur in the afternoon or whatever it was and he said Amen. And I tried a third time on Motzei Yom Kippur, I told him the same thing, I told him the bracha and he didn't say Amen. What am I supposed to do? So obviously it's a pretty sad story, but it certainly shows you, and I imagine it's a true story, the power of Amen is tremendous. Derech Agav, 3 years ago, when I heard this ma'isa, I was telling it over to a friend of mine who was actually got very, very ill, very ill. And Baruch Hashem, he's completely recovered, the Su'usodah. And just a few months ago, I was like near him, and I heard him say Amen, like with intensity. At the time, I felt a little bit bad. Here it was, he was like really ill, like really ill. And I was telling him a scary story about this idea, and obviously people wishing him a Refuah Shleima, and I was sort of encouraging him to say Amen whenever somebody wishes him a Refuah Shleima. And I see now that years later, he's very makbid to say Amen. But definitely, and I was going to quote also the Gemara Nedarim and Daches discusses somebody who has a cholom that he has is in nidui, and the Gemara says that you can't find the Talmud Chacham to be out there in nidui, just go stand in the middle of the street and say shalom to people, and they'll say shalom back. And it'll be that that at least one person will be a Talmud Chacham or have the power to take away the nidui. The point of that Gemara is that when a person goes ahead and says shalom to somebody, have a great day, it has a toalas. It has something. It does something. That's clear in the Gemara and in the Dharma Daf Ches. And therefore, if somebody says, have a great day, you should certainly say Amen, and you will be zoche to have a great day after that. That is number two. Number three, something I saw this morning in Leil Shabbach that struck me, and something we can certainly work on, that it has to do with, it's brought down, Vayashkim Avram Baboker, talking about the morning. And he describes the certain Talmud Chacham that was living the Yisod, that the principle of Tov Achriso, that Mehat Cholosom, I'm not exactly sure, it's quoted here in English, the end of something is better than its beginning. that the beginning is often not as good, but things get better. And and based on that yisod, so a Talmud Chacham who's always trying to work on himself, who never get off the ground, so to speak, tried using this concept in his life. And let me explain that anytime you have his orus, he would try to make a Kabbalah, he try to do something new, try to inspire himself, it wouldn't last. And Rav Zilberstein writes, you should know that the Altar from Kelm says that even if, you know, all your Kabbalos and all your aspirations, all your new goals don't pan out, you still get schar for trying, no question about it. So this gentleman, this Talmud Chacham, Rav Zilberstein calls a Talmud Chacham, said that he went through an experience that was very inspiring, and he couldn't figure out what should he do to sort of bottle it up and take it home with him. What can he do? What kind of Kabbalah can he take upon himself to make sure that this lasts? And he was thinking, and he decided, it was actually, he saw it brought down, he heard different people say it, that the end of something is better than its beginning, which means things get better. He decided, you know what his Kabbalah is going to be? He's going to say Moda Ani every morning b'Kavana. Thank you, Kodesh Baruch Hu, for waking up and waking me up, giving my Mishnah back, and having the faith in me for today. And he realized that that was a great idea. And he said that what happened was, and the reason why he thought that this is so appropriate, because if a person starts his day off well, and we know that the end of the end is better than the beginning, so things can only get better. And sure enough, that's what he felt, and that's why he chose it, and apparently it helped him. Then once he started his day with Moida Ani v'Kavana, Memela had an influence on the rest of the day. And he quotes Don Segel as well, that when a person starts his day in the right way, so then it has a tremendous influence on his coming day. Which Derek Agav, I once gave a ride to a very chashuv Rav. I told him, you know, I teach in yeshiva, American Bokrim. He should impress upon them to watch Nagel Vassar. So maybe it was a similar result. If you start the day off right, first of all, this could be also for Ruach Ra, and you know, Ruach Ra could affect a person his whole day. But the point is that if a person starts his day off properly, so then it'll have a tremendous hashpa on his entire day. And he points out, and rightfully so, you know, Moda Ani is the kind of thing most of us have been saying our whole lives. And once you say something when you're a little kid, so then you don't necessarily, you know, think about it that much. It's very much by rule. Moda Ani lefonecha. Melech Chayav Kayam, the king that's alive and sustains us, and he's maintaining the world. Shechazartu b'nishmasi, return my soul. And we know that, you know, unfortunately, we live in an era that, you know, there are people, unfortunately, don't wake up in the morning. And I guess Rav Zilberstein seems to say that's more common these days. We hear about it more, right? It's not, nothing's guaranteed in life. We have to say Moda Ani lefonecha Melech Chayav Kayam Shechazartu to be nishmasi b'chem rabba emun asecha. You had this tremendous mercy upon me and faith in me, etc., etc. And then he quotes Don Segel. The Gemara tells us in Brachos that a person should be misgaber his yetzer tov and his yetzer hara. And right, what should he do? And so the Gemara over there tells us that he should try to right if the yetzer hara starts up with him, etc. And the final thing is you should try to think of Yom Hamisa. The person should try to think that, you know, the Yom Hamisa is about the Yom Hamisa. And, you know, nowadays people say, oh, it's going to make the person stressed out, it's going to make them depressed. Why should a person think about the Yom Misa? So Don Segel Shlita tells us, no, it's the exact opposite. On the contrary, if a person thinks about the Yom Misa, you realize, why should he exert himself? Why should he focus on anything that's mundane, anything that's temporary, anything that's gashmi, that's worthless in this world, because he knows that this world is only temporary. On the contrary, when a person realizes that there is such a thing as the Yom HaMisa, he's more drawn to things that are real, things that are everlasting, like Torah and Mitzvahs. But and he's drawn away from the things that are Gashmi, things that are more Olam Haza oriented. And on the contrary, when a person thinks about it, you know what? Oh, there is such a thing as the Day of Death. There is such a thing. So why should I involve myself with things that are not important, not significant? On the contrary, the more a person realizes that, on the contrary, the more the person will be elevated, and he'll enjoy life that much more, because he knows what he's doing and what he's focusing on are things that actually mean something, and that are not worthless. And just getting back to the yisod from what we're saying, Vayashkim Avram Bavoker, to get up in the morning, Right? We know that he's also praised for that. That he's zealous about things. He doesn't sit back and wait for things to come to him. On the contrary, he initiates. He initiates and he pushes. And that's the yisod of life in the morning. When a person wakes up, you're not stop living another day. Yeah, if you stop living another day, and yeah, you know, you got to go through the motions, then you're right. There's no excitement. But if you take mod ani lefonecha, thank you, O Kadosh Baruch Hu. Melech Chai V'Kayim. First of all, he's Melech Chai V'Kayim. He's alive. He's a living God. And he's there. And you have a relationship with him. Shechazat V'Nishmas, that he gave you your neshama back. B'chemla Rabba M'Nosecha, right? With a tremendous amount of mercy upon us. And with faith in us. What a special, exciting thing. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what? And we have to think about this. He looked at each and every one of us this morning and said, oh, this person belongs to my world today. This person is going to be great today. This person is, I believe in this person today. And of course, most of us wake up in the morning and we just, you know, run to shul and that's it. But if you took literally 10 seconds, not even, 8 seconds, and think about it, wow, what a beautiful opportunity. Thank you, Hashem, for returning my soul. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to serve you. And then if you start your day like that, so then obviously the sky's the limit for the Hatzlacha for the rest of the day. So just to review, number one, the Yisod, that giving to others is the best way. It's even higher than, you know, conversing with Hashem. Again, not to be confused with the importance of tefillah. Absolutely not. But just as in a vacuum, there's a great milah of doing chesed, and certainly Hachlas Orchim is a tremendous chesed. That's number one. Number two, the idea of when you should say Amen. Amen has a tremendous, tremendous power. And number three, you saw that when you start the day, you should start it with excitement and appreciation for HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving you another day and believing in you for the day ahead. Have a great Shabbos.